You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. We're looking ahead to a busy day of action on Thursday, and we look forward to meeting at Haydock Perth, Yarmouth in the afternoon. There's also an Irish card at Bellewstown in the evening, at Tipperary, Newbury and Epsom in Britain in the evening as well. So plenty going on, and you can catch it all live on Racing Radio. We're on air from 1:50 p.m. It's myself, John Gibby, joined in the studio by Chris Pimlott and James Millman. So please join us then. But today on the podcast, we'll be taking a look at a couple of the races from Thursday and also looking ahead to the weekend action. I'm joined by owner Tom Morley. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Very well, thank you, John.
Excellent. Good to hear. And we'll start off, actually, by asking you about the fact you've been in the news recently. I've got the Racing Post story right up here.
Have you?
Good stuff. In that your Royal Ascot runner-up, Pocket Dynamo, has been sold to Phoenix Thoroughbreds. Tell us a little bit about that.
Pocket Dynamo, he was actually in the sales on Ascot Week down at Kensington Palace, but he didn't sell. To be honest, there was really only one purchaser there, and clearly he wasn't on their list. And thankfully, he didn't sell, I think, is how I would look at it. And he ran really well at Ascot. That was probably the most gutted racing-wise I've been, because he was in front before, he was in front after, but not on the line. And immediately offers came in from a variety of places. They might not have wanted him on the Monday, but after the race, they wanted him.
They're very keen.
Phoenix have some horses with Robert anyway. Robert was pretty keen to certainly be able to train the horse for the rest of this season, with a view to the race at the Breeders' Cup. That, to be honest, I would say if the race at the Breeders' Cup was next week, I would have thought he would be favourite for it. But obviously, it's a few months away yet. I spend plenty of money buying horses, so it is actually quite useful and good sometimes to cash in. You know, he's done me a good turn. He's shown some decent form. And, you know, you do have to... A lot of people go, oh, but, you know, when you've got a good one, do you really want to do that? But you do have to act a bit businesslike in these things at times. So, you know, it was a very acceptable offers that came in. And, you know, Robert gets lucky because he gets to train it still, and he knows the horse, so I think all that's quite a good thing, because he's the one who's got the horse to the stage it is. And, you know, hopefully he can go on and do a job for Phoenix Thoroughbreds, and they have an American arm, so the Breeders' Cup, I think, angle certainly was an attraction, and he's American bred anyway.
Taking a look at the pedigree briefly, it's always difficult to tell, but some of the signs would appear to be that he's going to be at his best as a juvenile. Was that in your mind when you made this decision?
I certainly think he's not the largest horse in the world. He has blossomed quite a lot in the last month. I mean, Barcelona, who rode him at Ascot and had ridden him the time before at Longchamp, said the amount he had come on in that between those two races was immense. But I personally thought that his two-year-old career, I'm not going to say it's definitely going to be his highlight, but he's not got the big frame of some horses that you think might grow into. So it was something I thought about, and we know a lot of these two-year-olds, they don't always train on. So it's hard, because, you know, he's entered in the Nunthorpe, where he'll get huge weight allowances compared to the older horses, and I can't see why if they choose to run him there. You know, I would have thought the track should suit. He's a quick horse and he travels well. I can't see why York wouldn't suit. So you're sort of weighing up perhaps a couple of things. I think the pre-mornay's around as well. That might be on the agenda. So you've got those sort of positives to keep him against the thing, well, You know, a few years ago, after Goldream had won the two Group 1s, I wanted to sell him, but my mother took the side of the person who owned the other half, and he's never won again.
Yeah.
And I just think some, you know, it's hard to do it,
but you try
to sell when they're good, not when after the event when it's too late. So.
That's the trick, I suppose.
Yeah.
So we move now to take a look at what's coming up this weekend. And we've got the Eclipse card, of course, on Saturday. I feel quite sorry here for Sandland in particular, with their big flat race of the year, because, of course, this is just before England are going to be playing in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. I actually love the Eclipse. It's one of my favourite flat races of the year. But
it's going to be overshadowed a bit, isn't it? For a lot of people, are going to be focused elsewhere.
It's difficult as well, because... There's a great card on all afternoon, and I think they've done a good job in moving a lot of the action earlier on in the day. I can't think that the Eclipse would usually be on at 2:10.
No, and of course, if you think back to the Saturday just gone as well, the Newcastle card was all moved earlier in the day for ITV to fit it round and round the World Cup matches. So, yeah, I'm sure that it will have been moved. And you can understand that. It's in everyone's best interests.
At time of recording, Massaro is a 6-5 favourite for the Eclipsos here at William Hill, the Derby winner. Roaring Lion 2-1, then 5-1 for Happily. Saxon Warriors 8-1. Forest Ranger 10-1. 14-10 for Rostropovich, and it's 16-1 by. Of course, these aren't the final decks. A couple of these might not run in the race. But
only 10 entries, weren't there? Was it 10 entries in the end?
Yes. It says 43 on my racing post screen, right, here, which is definitely not correct.
Definitely not correct. No.
That might have been the preliminary.
I would have thought
entries.
So, yeah.
Anyway, what I want to start off by asking here, Tom. Roaring Lion is 2-1.
Yeah.
Right. He's met Massar 3 times this season. Yeah. It's only the beginning of July.
Yeah.
They've met 3 times.
Yeah.
A variety of trips.
Yep.
And Massar, by varying margins, has beaten them every time.
Yeah.
Surely 2-1's a terrible price.
So this could be the right trip.
Yeah.
For him.
But then if you think they've met over a mile and a half and they've met over a mile.
I'm just trying to find a straw somewhere to clutch at rather than just saying, yep, you're right.
Yeah.
but trying to understand why he is 2-1. But no, I agree. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I don't particularly see why Massar should not come out on top again. And obviously they've paid the $50,000 to supplement Massar. People are talking about the Derby form, aren't they? And, you know, a few horses might have underperformed last weekend. But bottom line is Massar's form was pretty good. I mean, the Guineas form was good. The Derby form, as far as he was concerned, he won it. I think it's... Everyone likes to pick holes in things. Until, I don't know, it's been validated X amount of times. I can't see, you know, I would. He's won at this track before. I don't really see what he's going to like the ground. I don't really see what there isn't. If the same Massar turns up, he's going to be very hard to beat, isn't he?
It's interesting to look at his form as well. I think a few people underrate him because of what he's done internationally. But if you look at his European form only. You know, we know some horses don't travel. Some horses don't act in international jurisdictions for whatever reason. The European form only, 1-3-1, 1-3-1, and 2 of the 3 defeats came at Group 1 level.
Yeah. I mean, that's top-notch form. And to be honest, how much strength in depth? I mean, the older horses that are coming here for this race, you've got Hawkbill, who... He ran all right last time, but bombed out the time before. Probably a bit more cut in the ground maybe suits that. I'm not sure there's such a cross-section of top-class horses potentially turning up. So I think Massar almost... You'd expect him, you'd want him, and if you're connected to him, you'd want him to take advantage of this opportunity, I think, because there's going to be other times when there will be a lot more competition. So I think it's hard to get away, and I think, you know, it was interesting, even if you look right to the outsider of the field, for instance, I presume he's outside, Raymond Tusk, you know, they entered him because when they entered him, I think there were only 4 or 5 entries.
Yeah.
Then obviously Aidan O'Brien did his blanket entry afterwards. But you can understand, and I read, you know, earlier today about how they were talking, you know, they paid $5,000, you get 10 if he comes sixth. You know, if you overachieve... you get a lot more than that. You can understand why there isn't that strength in depth, and therefore you can understand why maybe Connections have taken a chance, for instance, with that horse and stuck it in. I don't, you know, I'm not anticipating it's going to win or anything, but I think that explains that the race perhaps doesn't have the strength. And how many will O'Brien run, you know? That's always part of the game until the declarations come out.
Bred to be useful as well, Raymond Tusk. So it'll be interesting to see if he does take his chance. I mean, you mentioned O'Brien's potential challenge.
Yeah.
You know, can you really see Saxon Warrior running here?
No. I can't. Well, I would be surprised.
Happily, is, I believe, has entered over in France at the weekend. I don't know which target she's going to go for.
I think Happily may well turn up, but, I mean, she's going to... The front two in the market are very decent horses. She's going to have to pull out a real cracker.
So we're just saying Massar's going to win this?
I think so.
Right. The 6-5 favourite then for
Sorry about that.
In the Eclipse. We'll turn our attention to racing at Yarmouth on Thursday. And you've picked up two selections for us here, Tom.
Yeah, we're going to start with the 220 race. A little 5 furlong 0-60 handicap. And here we have, well, first of all, we have the horse that's now the new track record holder at Yarmouth. Have won yourself, won at this track last week, causing a bit of an upset when winning in first-time cheek pieces. Been out of form pretty much all year up to then. Was one of the outsiders of the race, but it was a race in which the two fancied horses bombed out totally. And Have Won Yourself, despite being drawn low, managed to get across close to the Golden Highway up by the rail. And it was also a race where it paid to be bang up at the front throughout. So you can't knock away. Track record shows you how quick, effectively, the ground was. Back in third that day was Terry Rules, who challenged further away from the rail and ran respectably herself, given that she was actually wrong in at the weight. She was she'd been put up only, I think it was £4, and she was running under a penalty. So that's not great. But Have Won Yourself gets the penalty for today, having won then. And has a good apprentice on board to offset that, and is drawn nice and high again. So presumably a similar tactic will be tried. However, this time Terry Rules is also drawn pretty high. Terry Rules is better off at the weights for a pretty narrow defeat, and Terry Rules generally has been in much better form this season than Have Won Yourself. She's won at Newcastle and Brighton in the last couple of months. So I think Terry Rules can reverse the placings today. And I will be going with Terry Rules in this race. Looking at the other runners, good business. First time blinkers try to wake her up. She's been in good form at Chelmsford at the start of the year, but recent runs, not for me, and appears better on the all weather. Atlanta Bell, another one who's been on the all weather and whose best runs are there. Lower turf mark. I'd say her third place at Newmarket last time was all right and compared to this race, and she's drawn high. I actually think Atlanta Bell could be Terry Rules' main danger here. Princess Kira's now 0-8. Best result was at this track, but that was over 6. All other runs disappointing. Amethyst Rock gets a visor, but unless the drop in trip works the Oracle, I can't see that one. Storm Trooper's shown nothing more for his new yard than he had before. Camino's been in poor form this year. Didn't show much after a break last time out of the handicap. And Dolly Wagon Pike is also out of the handicap and I think needs to find plenty more. So Terry Rules.
Terry Rules then in that 220. There we go. You should be a commentator.
Oh, I know.
220 at Yarmouth. And your other selection is running an hour later, is it?
It is in the 320. A 1 mile 0-60 selling handicap.
They like to treat us at Yarmouth.
Yeah, they do. And my selection here is Racehorse.
Yeah, but which one, Tom? I'm
not sure about this name. It's not great, is it, really? But maybe it was a bit tongue-in-cheek. I mean, she had a fairly average start to her career in novice camp company. Handicap debut at Brighton in May. Sent off favourite, well-backed. Clearly better as expected, but it didn't go right for her. She wasn't quickly away. Got dropped in, held up out the back. She kept on, but to be honest, just never got into it. Clearly the money suggested they felt she was better than that. And I marked her down then as one just to keep an eye on and ran over a week later at Bath. And once again, same sort of thing, held up under an inexperienced pilot, never got into the race. And that race was another one where it was vital to be at the front end. Start of June, went north to Wetherby, and this time she's put into the race from the start. Track leaders, made some headway, led well over a furlong out, held on gamely. She had the plum draw at that track, and she made the most of that. Still a little bit tardy, had to be encouraged forward, but it was a likeable performance. Last time back at the same track, she wasn't so lucky with a draw and got lit up racing out wide, was keen, and the unnecessary exertions, well, I say unnecessary, but misplaced exertions perhaps is the better word, and taking a wide trip led to a weakening inside the final furlong. I think here, on a much more regulation track, she can get some cover, settle better, and continue back on an upward vein. Also, importantly, she gets the three-year-old allowance from several of these. And again, if you glance through the others, Mime Dance looks one of the main rivals. He just hasn't been in the best of form. Still has no headgear, though he is at the right trip here. Lord Murphy's only raced on grass twice, hasn't done much on either of those starts. I mean, that, if it could transfer the all-weather form, would be a danger. But you'd think, why hadn't they tried him on grass more? Slipstream cost €420,000 as a yearling. So far, seems to be quite weighed down by that because has looked poor, including on handicap debut last time. Johnny Boxit gets the first-time visor. In-and-out performer, I think, needs slower ground. Kelpie Spirit's only been out once this year, showed nothing. Percy Topless represents local trainer, out of the handicap, not running well. Lord Guest is lightly raced, steps up in trip, having regressed. Mistress Nelly has looked pretty poor on her four starts, gets first-time cheek pieces. Small glimmer for her is that she was actually really well back last time, so someone obviously thought she was a little bit, perhaps better than what we've seen. But from what we've seen on the track, not for me. So Racehorse is the selection.
Racehorse then. And it's only riding for Huey Morrison. Interesting to see. That's only riding at Yarmouth tomorrow, and I can't remember him riding too many for Huey Morrison either. So
no, it wouldn't be necessarily a natural pairing, would it? Yeah. I don't think.
Racehorse for selection. Then for Tom in that 3:20 at Yarmouth. It's live on Racing Radio. Please do join us for that and the rest of the day's racing. The podcast will be back tomorrow. And Tom, thanks for being with us today.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.